everyone. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Long Coat Mafia Podcast. Our second episode of the year. It is I, the Reverend Godfather, the show's main host and front man. Just being here, doing something a little bit different. Yes, I had a fail episode coming to you this week, but a lot of things went down, saw some stuff, and some of that stuff is taking precedent. That's right, I had an episode pretty much planned for this week of me trying to troll an IRS scammer, but things went down that I feel like I should talk about and review, so that's why we're here today. So, first things first, this past weekend, I saw the new Jumanji. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. I want to say it's a quasi-reboot, but it's not a quasi-reboot, because it kind of follows the original Jumanji with Robin Williams and that cast, which in and upon its own right was funny, it was interesting, it was pretty good, but, and it's a classic. But this takes a different route, so to speak. Spoilers ahead, please. Spoilers if I didn't say it before. Spoilers, and just in case you forgot over the past few seconds, spoilers. And for one thing, besides spoilers, it's been out for about 3 weeks. If you haven't seen it, you're probably not going to see it. I'll go into why that might be a conspiracy theory in reference to why many people have not seen it. I blame the cyclo bomb or whatever the fuck they're calling it this time around. But I thought it was okay. It's not the best. I think in a lot of aspects, the people behind it didn't think a lot about what in things are, because what I'm saying is the cast was okay. The cast was played themselves a lot, but there were a lot of inconsistencies with it. Jack Black was in it. Hold on for a second, folks. Yes, Jack Black, Kevin Hart, Karen Gillian, and Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I want to say everybody kind of played their part great, but Dwayne The Rock Johnson is pretty much who he is. He can play that serious role, and he does have decent comedic timing. Jack Black probably gave him a few pointers in reference to hone his timing a little bit. And himself and maybe Kevin Hart gave him kind of pointers to be more comedic. Even though Dwayne The Rock Johnson can be that type of person too, as well as very serious. But you gotta figure this is a cast that was playing not just their parts or their characters in the game. They were playing, how do I put this? They're playing their characters in the game while being other characters. Meaning, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's character, is not only playing this high-end, you know, very macho, very heroic person. He's also playing, adopting the persona of the character that came into the game, which is this nerdy high school teen. So, that's all what these characters are doing. Dwayne hits that mark. Dwayne The Rock hits that mark. Kevin Hart hits that mark. Even Jack Black hits that mark. Now, Karen Gillan, I keep probably mispronouncing her name, because I want to say Gillian, I don't know. If I get a chance to meet her at AwesomeCon, I want to ask her how she actually pronounces her last name, because I keep saying Gillian for whatever reason. But that's the thing. My issue with the cast comes with Karen. I'm not saying she's a bad actor or anything. It's just that her trying to play this nerdy, awkward girl persona doesn't seem to really fit her. in any way, shape, or form. I think she, if there was, she was trying to do that in her Doctor Who days, it came off better there than this. Whether or not that's an issue with the writing and the directing style, I have no idea. But it just came off, that part didn't really, or she didn't really fit that part in some way, or anything like that. And there's that whole issue, it's kind of hard to place this. I know she had a little bit of controversy when the film was the trailer first put out last year, in like late 2007, maybe in around San Diego Comic-Con, in around that time when the trailer first came out or was first leaked. A lot of people were complaining about her outfit. I don't know, because she also makes a comment in the movie about her outfit. I don't know if that was a reshot scene to kind of give her a commentary about her outfit in that setting as well. But overall, it's kind of hard to say because she did not fit the part. I don't want to say it's like, well, this nerdy kid's a redhead in the film. Let's find the nerdiest redheaded chick that we could fucking find. And they turned out to be Karen Gillan. But it just didn't quite fit. Not to mention, I don't know what the producer there. Some of the problem stems from Karen's role, and how I think they kind of the producers, the director handled that role. And with movies such as this that deal with fighting, they have like kind of a fight choreographer. I don't know if they had. I didn't really stick around for the credits, so I don't know if they had a fight choreographer in this, but if they did he do any, he or she do any motherfucking research into fighting, or did they just bring some motherfucker off the street and said, hey, you, try to choreograph the fight scenes in this. By the way, do you know Kung Fu? Yes, I know this form, and this form. Plus, I know regular, you know, this, that, and other thing. Where some of the regular fight choreography, Dwayne Johnson could have probably helped out and inserted his two cents a little bit in reference to how to stage a fight. But in reference to Karen's character, part of her ability set amongst a lot of, you know, these Taekwondo and one or two other Kung Fu sets, mixing that was just blatant dance fighting. That was it. Dance fighting. The only type of dance fighting that I am familiar with is Brazilian dance fighting. And this is a wonderful and beautiful art fighting. Art style, so to speak, and fight style. I do recommend you guys and gals or whoever's listening to look this fight style up, because it has, her fight style was nothing to do with Brazilian kung fu fighting or Brazilian fight style. Nothing like it. Nothing. Nothing. Their thought was, music is going to play, equivalent, not, I'm not talking like a atypical fight song or a song that gets you really pumped up to fight and to fight in a way that you could fight to, you know, like, I want to say like, let's say like Black Betty or something of the sort in regards to that, you know, something like, there's a beat that you could just fight to, that you wouldn't mind fighting to, a techno song. Like, granted, a lot of people shit on Mortal Kombat, but there's a lot of great fighting music in that, that, you know, you could go to in regards to that. But this, they chose music, I don't know if it was because of rights issues or anything like that, but they chose music the equivalent of Sir Mix-a-Lot's Big Butts. And that's not the song that they used, but it was, they could have used a shit ton of other music better. Hell, they could have used Kung Fu Fighting for a better song. But no, they used something as stupid as, or equivalent as stupid as Some makes a lot big butts, you know, and that's what she fights to. Every time she starts fighting, it's this stupid 90s cheesy song. And she doesn't, and it's just like, at times she doesn't really, she does kung fu fight, or she fights in a wushu or kung fu style, but it has nothing to do with Brazilian kung fu fighting. Let me put it like this: Wesley Snipes, mispronouncing his name, does a better Brazilian dance fighting and other Brazilian fighting styles plus kung fu better than she does. There's better kung fu fighting styles and Brazilian dance fighting styles in any number of gaming. I think there was DOA, you know, based on the movie DOA a few years back. Even that showed better kung fu fighting style than what she showed. There's a plethora of other movies. Mortal Kombat had better kung fu fighting moves than she showed. If we do get a chance to meet her at AwesomeCon, we will confront this issue. In regards to this is a blatant issue. Because a lot of people was like, hey, got Rev, yeah, how do you know this? Well, there was a show called, you know, like maybe 5, 10 years, almost 8 years ago. Pretty much based, they took ninjas versus, like, pirates and stuff like that. And they broke down the fighting styles, and they show different fighting styles. Plus, I watch a lot of these shows on, like, the History Channel, and not so much ESPN, but A&E, and, like, all these educational shows that broke down, like, fighting styles and stuff like that, the Military Channel, and they show these wonderful styles, and I'm not an expert in any way, shape, or form of Brazilian jiu-jitsu or Brazilian dance fighting, but I've seen it before. I can recognize it through various documentaries and military fighting, I want to say military history channels in regards to fighting stuff. So I recognize it. I know some stuff. I might not know the name of it, but I know what they completely missed the mark in reference to it. And dance fighting is not what they think it is, or they thought it is. And the music that they matched to it did not match. You know, they could have used anything else. I swear they could have actually used a remix of Kung Fu Fighting and actually made it fit for that section, and it probably would have cost the same amount of the song they used, if not better, and it would have just been beautifully fit. And just to hear the tones and a little bit of a remix into it, and it would have fit just as well, and it would have been a way better fight song than what they used in the movie. And to continue, yes, there was a kind of a nod to the original Jumanji in this, with the Robin Williams' character's name is shown in the movie. It's carved into a tree, and they even asked, who's that? Who's that name? Is that your name? No, that was someone else that kind of was probably stuck here in the game long ago. So I take the, and he kind of says, that particular character says, there were probably other people stuck in this game like us. So there's that. Like I said, overall, it's done well. A lot of with the blame, like, dear God, why do they do this? But other than that, it was nicely done. But the other issue is that some people have pointed out, in the original Jumanji, the game, when it's spoilers for that, spoilers, but not so much spoilers for the original Jumanji, is just that when they get rid of the game in the final scenes of the movie and toss it into the kind of the ocean, so to speak, it eventually washes up on the African shores or the South American shores. I think they use South America or Africa in the on-screen writing, but according to everything else, or at least this movie, it winds up somewhere on the eastern seaboard. They don't really say where. It could have been from anywhere from the Long Island to anywhere up and down the coast, North Carolina, South Carolina, or Georgia, because I think the original movie takes place in kind of like the northeastern states like Maine or Vermont, and around there, or northern Rhode Island or Massachusetts. I think closer to Maine, but please don't quote me on it. I'm trying to remember my best here. But that said, I'm going to give this maybe a 5.5 out of 10. But it is watchable. It's good enough to unplug your brain for a while. I don't know if I'll get it on video on demand when it comes out. And speaking of video on demand, I want to thank somebody here, and that is Amber Dawn Fox. And the reason why I want to thank her is because she allowed, or I won't say allowed, she put out her feelers for to everybody on Facebook, and thankfully Matt Burns tagged me in regards to this. And for those who don't recognize the name Amber Dawn Fox, it's just that many years ago, she was an officer. I want to say officer. Let's see here. I forgot. She was known as. She played one of the cops on The Walking Dead. I want to say between season 3 to season 6 and around there, because it's season. No, I want to say 3 to 5, because that's when her appearance was. She was just on for a season before I think she was either killed or they just went to a different storyline. But she appeared in a low-budget movie called, I want to bring it up here, it was a few days ago. Yes, The Haunting of Four Points. Now, I want to say this first in regards to this type of film. It is a low-budget picture, and it's kind of hard to fully judge a low-budget picture because low-budget films usually start between a couple of $1,000 to maybe, depending on who you talk to, $1 million, $1 million to $2 million. That's depending on who you're talking to. $1 million is a big number to many filmmakers, especially low filmmakers in the area. So with that, this big hay pile of low-budget films, it's kind of hard to judge one against the other, because with mainstream Hollywood, with big films that are out there, like the Marvel movies, Star Wars movies, and like National Treasure and Patch Adams and these major studio films that are put out on a year-to-year basis, it's kind of hard to, it's easier to compare and contrast a mainstream Hollywood film that's put out there, because they use a standard format. They're very high budget, or if they are a lower budget, it's usually between $10 to $35 million. But nowadays in Hollywood, a low budget film is anything that's around $100 million. Oddly enough, and a lot of low budget films, the rarity of them being a major mainstream movie is few and far between. Some of the best and wildly known examples are Paranormal Activity movies that hit, their budgets were roughly between $35,000 to about $1 million, and they brought in several $100 million. So even with budgeting costs of, let's say, another 15, 20, when, as you probably heard me talk about in regards to mainstream movies like Star Wars or Ghostbusters or Suicide Squad or Doctor Strange, you hear me talk about that when you have a movie that's done like that, they spend $200-300 million on the film. It's pretty much half that film is pretty much the $150 million is for production. The other $150 million is for promotion. Now, when you have a movie like Paranormal Activity or the original Blair Witch, which was close to $35,000, they could spend $10 million strictly on advertising, and or $10-20 million strictly on advertising, and put out a viral campaign and make after their split of Office Take, make $100 million and it be extreme success and be labeled a box office, meaning that a movie such as Paranormal Activity and Blair Witch could bring in $200 million domestically, or about $300 million worldwide. And after their take, it's $150 million. Let's say $300 million worldwide. After their take, it's $150 million. Yet they only spent maybe $15-20 million, including advertising, on this. So yeah, they're going to spit out one every year until they're not really making that much money anymore. In regards to at least Paranormal Activity, they're going to move something onto something else. And the same thing with maybe Blair Witch. They might recover it a few years down the road, like they did with the kind of the reboots like 2 or 3 years ago. But with a lot of the lower budget films, like what John Johnson does, Nick Hunt, and a plethora of other local filmmakers across the United States and worldwide, it's kind of hard to judge. It's in regards to this, the only thing I give you guys and gals is my thoughts of where, what it did right and where it was good in my eyes and where it was the problems in my eyes. Because something like this is like what a friend of mine said about podcasting or podcasts. He said there are a plethora of podcasts. There are heaps and heaps and piles of a podcast out there to get the one with the best attitude, the best one that you really, really like. You're going to go through a lot of bad podcasts. You're going to go it's like finding that ripe and that gem in that pile. It's like finding a needle in a haystack or a diamond in a pile of coal. And the same thing can be applied to low budget films. There's a lot of diamonds in the rough. There's a lot of great low budget movies out there, and there's a lot of lumps of coal. I'm not saying this movie is a lump of coal, but it had a few issues that I want to address. I'm not saying that the problems that I saw was not in regards to acting, not in so much the film style, but maybe the editing style and the choice of how the story might have been told in the writing style. So, again, we begin this little bit of a review and talking about this movie, I want to say Amber was kind enough to send me the kind of a pre-on-demand copy of this, which means it's not really available to the public yet, or the wide stream public yet. Also mean that it's probably more so, even though it might be on DVD / Blu-ray, it's a might be strictly available at most conventions or very few websites, maybe like how John Johnson distributes his films, in some cases through brain-damaged films site, which is, I think, braindamagedfilms.com. Just look, give them a look-see. But in regards to this movie, in my eyes, there's no problem with the acting. The actors, including Amber herself, do a fine job. The film style is okay, and the film work is okay. My main issues is with the editing and how the overall story is told, because you have this movie is and like 3 minutes long, and about 50 minutes is dealt with how do I put this? 5 minutes is dealt with the backstory, and 5 minutes is dealt with the actual what I would think is the meat of the story, the actual quote unquote haunting of Four Corners, or four. Let's see here. Four points. That's the thing. It's just that with this, you have 10 minutes of actual decent storytelling in regards to this. And when it comes down to the main characters that you see, there is that 50 minutes of pointlessness. And they're set up to actual things that happen in late, that final 5 minutes, or maybe 10 minutes of the film, that's there, but it's blink and you miss it, and it's just, at that point, a toss away. It's hurtful. The bulk of the film felt boring and slow. Very slow. I almost wanted to play Words with Friends, type of slow. I'm not saying it. Again, the actors and actresses did their job well. That backstory felt like it. It reminded me of Hatchet. You know, kind of like watching the backstory of what was going to happen with Hatchet. But after that, it was all right. Slow. It was like, oh, it's going to be one of these type of deals. And not to mention, there seemed to be, I want to say the first 5 minutes with that backstory, the kind of the old-timey filter to it was justified. But then again, after that, there seemed to be another filter put on the film, and it just didn't give the overall decent quality to the film that it should have. It felt like, I wanted to say, they could have probably filmed the whole thing on a camera phone and gotten a better quality film out of this. And it seemed like that the person editing decided, my Adobe, film editing software, has these filters. Let me put this stuff on here. It looked great for that little backstory. Let's put it on the rest of the film. And it just didn't, it just didn't work. You know, if they used a digital camera, they should have left the filters alone in this, because whoever decided on that, it didn't need to be there, because there's a lot of films out there that are on the same level as this film, meaning a level budget-wise, that have a crisper picture to it. And whether or not, I don't know if it was an equipment issue or anything like that. Yes, I'm tearing this apart, but I'm sure there's going to be a lot of people that love this, but There should have been a little bit more crisp and seemed like more higher quality than what was shown. But that's that. And again, you had that, the last 5 to 10 minutes of the film was strictly the haunting. This should have been, if there was another half hour onto this film, and that's where the bulk of this haunting should have been, because if they were limited to 1 hour, and then the 45-50 minutes that they used on the setup and everybody getting their gear together, then it was pointless. You know, that they, it seemed like, okay, let's do the 45 minutes of setup, And, oh, we forgot to do the whole haunting aspect of things. And, yes, spoilers. The reason why I didn't really say spoilers for this is because I said spoilers for Jumanji, and I'm also covering this as well, so it's still spoilers. It just seemed like, oh, we forgot to do the haunting, and everything seemed rushed. And tried to tie up everything in the last 5 to 10 minutes, if that. And it posed more questions afterwards that they could have used in part of the setup or in that actual haunting. They should have, if they wanted to do mostly setup, they could have easily done it in the first half of the movie or the first actual 30 minutes of the movie and actually went to a decent, done a decent haunting aspect in the last 30 minutes. And or made it longer than an hour. Granted, there an hour is a standard, or seems to be a standard time, or at least a half hour to an hour seems to be about the standard time or the standard runtime in a lot of B movies. Not all filmmakers who do low budget movies or B movies do an hour and a half. I want to say, similarly to like John Johnson, he feels that if it's under a half an hour and a half, it's pointless. I could be misquoting him, but that's just his opinion. But not many filmmakers that are in the low budget genre feel the same way, because I've seen a lot of low budget films that are decent. Or the in the same category as John Johnson, with about an hour, and they do about the same. And like I said, the acting was fine. Hopefully, I could get Amber Dawn Fox on the show and have her talk about the movie, why it was short, and if she is listening to this, you're more than welcome to come on the show through Skype and talk about this movie. If there's a sequel, kind of to explain more about things, because everything, they could have ended it the same way they did in the movie, but it could have been more paced out than seemingly rushed. And I'll be more than happy to have her on the show to talk about this and discuss it herself and other works that she's done. Speaking of which, makes me want to see other films like what Matt's been doing with Bottom Creek, and what Mel Heff, I think it's Mel, her last name is, what Mel's been doing in her genre and all that, and what she's done in the past. I might have to borrow Big Candy's movie. I know when Mel was having her little bit of her charity event earlier last year, he picked up a DVD with what she was in. I might have to pick it up, borrow it off of Big Candy in regards to watching it and kind of doing a little bit of a better compare and contrast, because it's been a while since I've seen a low-budget film other than John Johnson, so I want to put that out there as a type of a balance to this. Again, Amber, if you're listening to this, please, 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 I would like to have you on the show to talk about this movie and talk about what you are doing as well and your background and all that. So, and have a decent conversation with this. For all of you out there that think that I'm bashing on Amber, I'm not, or the movie, just that like most podcasts, or a good chunk of podcasts, I can be super critical about the stuff that I am passionate about, but if you do want to check this out, I do not have the legal ramifications to send anybody the link in regards to this. In upcoming weeks or months, if my co-host, Big Candy, wishes to watch this himself, and I'm sure Amber would allow me to share the link with him so he could give his honest opinion about this too. But because he is a member of the show, So, if Big Candy, if you're listening to this, and you want me to send the link your way so you can see it as well, I'll be more than happy to send it your way, providing Amber gives me permission to do so. I'm sure she probably will, due to the fact that it'll be a review, and just strictly and because Big Candy's part of this show as well. So there's that, and again, the invite, Amber, if you're listening to this, is an open invite to be on the show. Just email me at the show's email address, which is longcoatmafia@gmail.com, and we can schedule an interview that best suits you at Skype. And I do not keep any personal information, meaning if it's through a phone itself or a phone number, I do not keep that phone number. It gets wiped clean. I do not share that phone number with anybody because I consider it personal information, but I'd rather use Skype. That way it better protects you and does not give me any personal information that in regards to where you're at and everything else. So I want to be as safe or provide at least some sort of privacy on your part. That way nothing is, you know, safer for you and whomever you wish to be in on this. Let's see. What else? Let's continue with this else. We spoke about Jumanji. We spoke about Amber's film, The Haunting of Four Points. Now let's a little bit talk about Punisher for a few minutes. Two things about that. Yes, they're doing a season two. The first season was apparently a success enough that they are doing a season two. Filming for it should be starting in New York City over the next couple of months. For season two here in 2018. I found the remaining half of the, because when I last did the review for Punisher, I only was about halfway through it. Now that I've successfully completed the full first season, it's still as brutal. It was nicely wrapped up. It is what it is. As always, Netflix has done a wonderful job dealing with Marvel shows, especially with shows with what they have. Now, with everything, let me bring it up. Just have to log into my phone. And that's it. It's one of my saved things here. I got to back it up. Go here, and phone's being slow as always. I'll pose that question. There's always kind of like a sad thing that you tend to be quicker than the fastest known device that you have. Let's see here. Let's see. I just went by saved stuff, didn't I? Phone, send, messenger, event saved. Okay, there we go. That is the actor who did Punisher, a.k.a. John Bernthal, who plays the Punisher, a.k.a. Frank Castle, kind of hit the news over the past couple of days, or past week or so, in regards to the Punisher symbol. Now, in a lot of the articles that has come up, that in regards to, especially the articles that are pointing to his his Esquire article interview that he did recently, is that John has stated prior in the past, especially in the Esquire article, that he enjoyed the Punisher role and looks forward to doing the season two, which is always a good sign. That's always a good sign when an actor enjoys their role and looks forward to doing more of that role. It's always nice to see. It's always great to see. And apparently the interviewer who was interviewing John for the Esquire role brought up the Punisher symbol that the Punisher wears on his chest. And he said he enjoys hearing about military personnel going to battle wearing the Punisher symbol on their chest. He thinks it's fun and honorable to do that. And he sees no issue with that. And he thinks it's kind of amusing. Not funny amusing that he thinks, you know, it's... I think he stated as himself that he's former military. And he kind of sees it as a sign of respect. And he's not, you know, dissing it in any way, shape, or form. Meaning that he thinks that's the way the since Frank Castle in the show is former military, they're kind of, the military is kind of saluting him, or the soldiers are saluting the character by wearing that symbol. So it's kind of a fun thing. I myself, you know, have no problem with it. And when the person doing the Esquire article asked about the extreme alt-right folks, the people who love to hate, the people that are just basic trolls that are wearing this as the new symbol of hate. He pretty much said, I'm talking about John, has stated, fuck 'em. And I want to say, good job. John, I applaud you. Because I think most people in your position would kind of just try to apologize and backpedal and to blatantly say fuck 'em, and in essence saying they're not worth his time, fuck 'em, ignore 'em, they ain't worth it, they're, you know, whatever. That's the perfect response. You know, fuck the trolls, fuck 'em. I'm not worried about those fucktards. I'm worried about the I'm more concerned about the positive than the fucking negative. So that's good about that. And he brought up a story. I don't have that particular article pulled up. That it was while he was filming many years ago that a famous director came up to him and kind of got in his face, and he got back into his face. I think it was Oliver Stone is the director I'm thinking of. Got into John's face and kind of was at the set at the time. He wasn't really directing the movie. Just got in his face. And it was one of the films in regards to the 9/11 attacks. And he found out later that he fell for is an atypical thing that... Oliver Stone kind of did, and he kind of fell for it, and hook, line, and sinker, because he was young, dumb, and stupid. And since then, he kind of made up with Oliver Stone, and they're kind of friends. So that's always fun to hear that he kind of owned up to doing something kind of stupid as his younger self in regards to that. Kind of moving on, I want to talk about something else, too. And I want to say it because the... Year, I want to say this. Let me rephrase that. I want to talk a little bit about Jake Paul. It's just that whole aspect of Jake Paul. There's two things I want to bring up first. It's just not Jake Paul, Logan Paul, because he's the current fuck. Both of them are fucktards anyway. But Logan Paul is. The one that's causing most controversy right now. Let me get into what happened. Let me put it like this. When it comes to YouTube and its major creators is the following. YouTube has a habit of every... March, April, and every June, July, or around there. It's usually like March, late February, March, and April. Then it happens again, end of June, July, and August. That something has to come up. And like 2 years ago, in 2016, it was the whole React thing and everything else, and a few months later it was something else, in the whole drama stuff that happened, you know, in mid 2016. Then in early 2017. You had the whole aspect with PewDiePie. Then in June, July, and August, around VidCon, you had the whole aspect of a whole mess of people, including Logan and Jake Paul causing trouble. Anna Carcisi causing trouble, whatever the fuck her name is, causing trouble at VidCon and causing issues at VidCon. Then you had to add Pop also during this time, because of PewDiePie early year, you had the Adpocalypse, and closer to the roughly the same point in the whole VidCon, that middle of the year, you had Adpocalypse 2.0, and close to the end of the year, again, you had more. It usually happens like something in the first third of the year, you have something that happens on YouTube. The second third of the year, you have, you know, of happening again with YouTube, and the last third. But it's always within that third and fourth month. Same thing, like the middle of the year, you know, and the same thing about the October, maybe November of the year, it always happens, so something happens. Now, Logan Paul decided to do things a little bit differently, and do things right off the bat, as pretty much as 2017 was ending, and 2018 was starting, so in essence, this happened, the year was not even a few hours motherfucking old. Now, with all that set up, Logan Paul went to Japan with his crew. Now, I want to say this. Japan is a very honorable, very polite, very historically rich when it comes to its culture and its history. I should say, word that better, that it's both historically and culturally rich. And the people are very, how can I put this? The Japanese people are very, when it comes to eats, they're not really very outgoing. They're very I won't say very introverted. They're very, reserved people. They're very proper, as a culture. They are proper. They're not like the people who are in London that will, you know, pretty much, if you did something wrong, come up to you and go, "Why the fuck did you do that?" They're not. They will give you a look. They're very prim and proper people. They're very honorable people. They're very prim and proper. They follow a very certain etiquette. Strict etiquette in regards to some things, which can be seen as very weird in a lot of cultures, but it's not for them. It's very normal, and I want to give them the best respect I can in regards to that, and I want to learn more about the Japanese culture in the most proper way. And as for Logan Paul, he has about 15 million people subscribe to his channel and growing, because with this incident, which I'm about to go into, has not hurt him at all, because he is like PewDiePie was in the past, YouTube's golden boy, which means Logan Paul could pretty much go in the center of the street, a crowded street, pull a gun on somebody and shoot them in the head, and post the video up to YouTube, and YouTube will not do shit to his channel, to him, and to say, "We don't see any type of video like this. This is fine. This is okay. YouTube algorithms will pretty much ignore. Logan Paul when he did this, because the video he uploaded lasted over 12 hours. Some will say less, some will say more, in around 12 hours. Now, it's because of this, what he did was he posted up a video. Like I said, he went to Japan. He said several times in his videos, "I'm going to be respectful, I'm going to be proper." And everything he did was disrespectful, not proper. He made every foreigner who goes to Japan to embrace their proper culture and embrace what they're doing. Especially the American people who do want to do that as well. He made everybody, at least here in the States, seem like the stereotypical American motherfucking idiot. And if someone like myself wanted to go and properly learn about the culture and partake in the culture with respect and honor, we're made out to be like bad guys as well because of this idiot. And during this time, he went to the infamous Suicide Forest that is at the base of Mount Fuji, I think. For those of you listening to this, please email me if I'm mistaken in where it's located at. There's well over hundreds upon hundreds of people that do commit suicide in this forest. Before I continue, let me state the following. If you, by chance, have any thoughts of suicide or severe depression in regards to suicide, please call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255 and seek help. If anything, seek friends. Be honest. Go somewhere that will give you help. Go to a hospital. Go somewhere. Go, you know, seek out true friends that are willing to help you out, that will take you seriously. Especially, again, call the infamous National Suicide Hotline at 1-800-273-8255. Seek help. Seek help. And if any of your friends and family think that this is a laughing matter or think it's a joke, drop them like a fucking hot potato or a hot coal, and find somebody else new to hang out with. Because you don't need that type of negativity in your life. Because this is not a laughing matter. It's a serious matter at all points. But he went into the suicide forest and kind of looking for a dead body. And what did he find? He found a dead body hanging from a tree. Now, mind you, some people have pointed out that this could be possibly staged. And I'll say possibly. The reason why they're saying it's possibly staged because, one, Logan Paul is a fucktard. Number two, and he's kind of down for doing stupid shit like this. And what he has also done, okay, in regards to the video that was shown, some people pointed out that the person that was hanging was kind of too close to the ground, and they were kind of unsure because of, again, how the position of the body was, how the body itself was being presented. No, with no disrespect that if this is an actual suicide case, again, the Japanese culture handles suicides way differently than most of the world. I do not wish to disrespect the Japanese culture and or the family in any way, shape, or form. In regards to this, I just wanted to bring somewhat of as many sides to the story as possible in regards to this. Now, that Paul's, Jason Paul's reaction to this is disgusting. A lot of people said that his laughter and him joking is a way of coping, but the way he tends to present himself and his whole ordeal and his style and his character set, that is not so much what I believe he was doing. Especially there was a lot of people there of his crew that kind of, well, were making fun of the situation. And that by far is way, way not cool. Logan Paul and his crew, in regards to when you looked at the footage, especially some of the people, they were laughing not out of shock. Maybe the first few seconds were shock, if providing, again, this was real, I'm going to err on the caution, err on the fact that it was real, and this was an actual suicide, and despite the fact that some people have said that Logan Paul did not film the infamous suicide forest sign, showing the warnings and everything else. Now, mind you, other YouTubers have been to this forest, and they did not do what Logan Paul did. And if the other YouTubers who went here and did find something, they were very much respectful and did not show it. Again, Logan has put up, if not Logan's editor, has put up an apology. Yes, Logan Paul put up an apology, which seemed half-assed, but even though it was posted up on Twitter and it was posted up on YouTube. This video that he put out and dropped, let me put it like this, because I'm skipping over some details, because this is a serious matter and it's fucking with my brain. In regards to getting this out and how serious this is, in the 12 hours that this video was dropped, it was number 10 in trending on YouTube. Trending on YouTube, and YouTube did not pull this video. And Logan's thumbnail in regards to this, even though he claims he did not monetize this video, and he claims and put out several things in regards to warnings and everything else, and saying, you know, kind of saying the same thing I do, call the suicide. It seemed half-assed. Let me put it like that. He seemed like he didn't fucking care. In the apology, in the video, his editor, in his apology, stated that they discussed, went back and forth whether or not they should have posted this. Obviously, the decision was made to post it. It was posted up for 12 hours before he, Logan Paul, took it down. YouTube did not take this down. Logan Paul took this down. Now, as soon as this video was up, within 2 hours of it being up, it should have been pulled by YouTube. By YouTube, in regards to this. And YouTube did not do shit. So, do a lot of the creators or the smaller creators be furious at YouTube? Yes. Should they be furious at Logan Paul? Yes. They have every right, because Logan Paul just hurt all these little smaller YouTubers that, like myself, barely have 10 subscribers to those who have 500,000 to a million subscribers. He has hurt these people. And YouTube, now that they're fucking woke up, and that they should have realized, wait a minute, our golden boy did something wrong. And instead of attacking their golden boy, they're attacking the smaller YouTubers. Now, mind you, this video got over 6 million views on YouTube before it was taken down. Now, again, and I know I spoke about the thumbnail. The thumbnail is pretty much the what you see on the website or on a lot of the YouTube apps. And it was him, a selfie of him in front of this quote-unquote body. And that is deplorable, even though the body and a lot of the footage, the body was blurred out. Even so, even if it was blurred out, it's still not wrong. It's wrong, despite the fact that a lot of smaller YouTubers and YouTube in general have spoken out against YouTube in regards to why is mainstream sites like NBC, CBS, Fox News, so forth and so on, and CNN, and even their golden boy is allowed to get away with a lot of the shit that they can't get away with themselves. I'm not saying what Logan Paul did was right, but he showed a dead body on his video. His written apology seemed like a bragging. That was more, instead of saying I apologize for showing this body, but it was more, came off, according to some, more of me. He had, instead of apologizing in regards to saying, hey, look, I'm sorry that I exposed at least potentially to 15 million people my video in regards to showing this type of thing. I am sorry that I did not mean to cause trauma to these people, because most of his audience is under the age of 15, and they should that type of content or seeing such a thing, because seeing someone who has passed away, whether it's due to suicide, again, the suicide hotline is, for here in the States, is 1-800-273-8255. If please call that number if you have such thoughts or you're feeling severely depressed. And again, his folks were more or less not, ha-ha, we're seeing a dead body. We got a laugh in regards to this whole ordeal. It was more look like, giggle, 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 look, a dead body, giggle, giggle, giggle. Can you, you know, he's dead, thank God he's dead, type of thing, which is the wrong way to think. And that being said, we had also, I was part of an incident on Facebook in regards to trying to help somebody in this situation. I'm not putting anyone on blast. I am not naming names for sheer privacy. I'm telling you about the incident that actually happened in regards to this. It is a true incident. I am not putting anyone on blast. I'm putting the incident on blast in regards to this. The person in question was showing all signs of being severely depressed, and was in essence kind of saying all the words in regards to, I am going to go through this type of ordeal. And there was a plethora of people coming on and responding to this, saying that please contact me. You know, even I said, please contact me. We're here for you. Please contact, talk to us. We'll be happy, you know, for you to call. Even I said, I'm willing to give you my number, call me. Besides this, a couple of people have shared their local suicide helplines, and plus the National Suicide Helpline, again, which is 1-800-273-8255. And for a period of a half an hour, she went quiet. Literally, this person, he went quiet. Which worried even more people. I had one person, because I was part of this thread in regards to this, said, I'm worried, I don't know what I should do. I think I should call the cops and do a wellness check in regards to this, because she's not answering messages, she's not answering, according to a couple of the people he spoke with, or this person spoke with, wasn't answering texts either. And I said to this person, do what you got to do, brother. Do what you got to do. Get this person. If this person needs help, get this person help that they deserve. Error on the side of getting this person help, whether she needs it or not. Make sure that this person's safe, because if this person does do what I might think she does, and what you might think she does, or this person does, we don't want it to be on us. Meaning that even though we tried our best to help prevent this, we don't want it to be on our conscience. If we don't want it to be on your conscience, do what you can do. Do what you gotta do, brother. Do what you gotta do. And he called the police within about 5 minutes after him calling the police and relaying all the information to the local PD, and the PD saying, we understand, you know, from what I gather from talking to this person, they understood. They went out to check on this person, and this person came back on Facebook and put up a comment saying roughly that, I'm tired now, I'm going to go to bed, good night all, which in some cases has brought up the fact that it sounds like this person is actually going to go ignore everybody's plea to an offer to get help and to help, that this person is actually going to do something stupid and drastic and not get help. Then 5 minutes after that, this person posted up. I just, to the person who called the cops on me, how dare you, because of this, I'm going to quit Facebook, yada, 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 this is all funny, again, proving my point that, suicide, no matter if you don't even for fucking attention, it is not motherfucking funny, either way you want to dice it. If you doing it for attention, it's not funny, it's not supposed to be for attention, it is to some people a very serious matter. I'm sure Josh from Victims and Villains can back me up on this if you ever listen to this podcast. It's not a funny matter, it's a serious matter. I spoke to this person, I messaged this person myself, I replied to this person saying, what you're saying is wrong. Whoever, I didn't name names or didn't say who called the cops on this person. I said to this person that everything you did set up flags for the cops to call, be called on you. And I told this person that between you saying goodnight, whether or not it was you just going to bed, literally going to bed, the cops were probably on their way to your house to check on you. And everything you said, including goodnight, Facebook, I'm going to bed, is a sign of you actually going to through this. And laughing about it is not fucking funny. And not to mention, he's going to quit Facebook in regards to someone caring about you and wanting to make sure you were okay, is even fucking dumber. Because when you have a when the next time you want help and you offered it up, the help won't be there for one. And two, you keeping up this shit of, oh, I was not serious, I was just fucking joking, is wrong. Is wrong. People are not going to take you serious, even though if you are, because you would be the person that is equivalent to the boy who fucking called Wolf. And this also made me upset, especially with the Logan Paul thing, made me fucking upset, because here I was, yes, I kind of tried to promote our show that was dropped last week, in regards to remembering Conrad, the great Conrad Brooks, this kind, gentle man, Conrad Brooks, who passed away in early December. Me promoting this show and promoting the memory of Conrad Brooks, who this great man was. And here is, you know, part of me wants to say, I want to share my memories of a great man, a wonderful man, a nice man. And here is somebody that is tainting everything that other people are trying to do to remember somebody's passing. I don't want to say it's, you know, me doing me and being narcissistic and self-centered, but here I am trying to share memories of a wonderful man and tell people that here's a man that passed away that wanted to bring, smiles and to entertain as many people as he could, as he did for a good half century of his life, if not more. And here is some dumbass 22-year-old motherfucker who came from the Vine invasion into YouTube and just done the stupidest thing possible and literally tainted everybody on YouTube, tainted every tourist who decides to go to YouTube. Now, I've also heard reports that the Japanese, or at least the Tokyo PD, or several police departments in Japan want to get a hold of Logan Paul to ask some questions and find out the validity of this video, where it was taken, and so forth and so on, to see as well as it is legit out there. And if you guys want to share tale, a part of what, let me put it like this as well, as part of what I do in regards to this is to help. There have been many people out there that listen to radio shows on a nightly basis, and those shows, they have been through severe depression all the time and hears this voice that comes on a nightly basis, and it's a gentle voice. It's a nice voice. George Norrie has said this many times, that he's gotten letters and emails and Pete Collins saying that, hey, there have been times I've been through my darkest hour in my life, and I hear good afternoon, good evening, whatever the case may be, wherever you're living. Welcome to Coast AM. I am George Norrie. And it lights up their night. It helps them through their darkest hour. Hopefully, there are a plethora of podcasts out there that help each and every one of you, that you wait for the next episode to be posted up, and it lights your darkest hour. I know it sounds like I'm quoting Transformers, you know, the cartoon, holding up the Autobot Matrix of Leadership and saying, please light our darkest hour. If you consider my show, Josh's show, Victims and Villains, or any other podcast that is out there as your Autobot Matrix of Leadership, and you, every time we drop an episode, you raise that episode like the Autobot's Matrix of Leadership and say, please light my darkest hour, and we do so for you. I want to say that lightens my heart, and as well as it probably lightens every podcaster's heart out there, and as well as it brightens every radio host's heart out there when we hear you say that it lights your darkest hour, and it is your, in essence, your Autobot Matrix of Leadership right there, and that's what you get from our show. But if you need help, if you want help, there are probably plenty of places you can go locally and plenty of phone numbers you could call locally to help get help. But again, if you need that number, and I'll put it in the show description as well, as I did with when I was on, or say Josh was on my show, the guys from Victims and Villains, I put it in our show notes. I'll do it in the show description for this week's episode as well. I know I'm going on way longer than I should. Again, the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline is 1-800-273-8255. Please call them if you need help. There are plenty of places you can call, online places. Please get help. Please, 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 please get help. I beg of you, get help. Speak with somebody. There is somebody that will listen to you. Someone will help you through your darkest hour and light your darkest hour. Whether it's a priest, a rabbi, a man of or woman of the cloth, if you will. Whether they worship this great spaghetti monster, the fates, or the old gods, or whatever, just, you know, if they're there to help you through this, please do get help. Please, I beg of you, don't do something stupid. You are a wonderful person. Again, speaking of that, before I go, if you want to write to us, again, if you want to write to us, please do so. Our email is longcoatmafia@gmail.com. And if you're on Facebook, you spend most of your time on Facebook, you can message us on Facebook and talk to us that way. Somebody from our show, most likely probably me, will talk to you and message you. Our Facebook page is facebook.com, The Longcoat Mafia Podcast. So we want to hear from you. That's what we're here for. We want to do that's why one of the many reasons why we're here, to bring light to you. I didn't, for those, I know Scott from Podcast Bay tends to hear this. This is our take two, because I initially had this segment in the front. I wanted it to be a positive, and I want to end it, start with a positive note instead of a negative note like I did last week, even though it was remembering a great man, a wonderful man, a man who brought light to many, many people. And because video and DVD and video on demand lives forever on the internet, he will bring light and amusement to many more people to come. And to find out more about this man, you can always check our episode, past episodes on iTunes / Apple Podcasts, depending on where you get our show. If you're on Android platform, you can find us on Google Play Music if you want to get us that way, as well as our main site, which is thelongcoatmafia.podbean.com. And yes, the word "the" is part of the website. Again, I know I'm sounding down. I gotta end this episode now because I'm starting to feel down myself because what Logan Paul did was stupid. I hope something does happen with Logan Paul, even though, or his channel, he does hit a strike or several strikes on his channel. I don't want his channel to go away because I'm not one of those fucktards that, who want to see somebody fired and lose income, even though he's not losing views, he's gaining subscribers. I'm just want to say what he did was deplorable, uncalled for, and for those of you out there, it was a good way for me to say, please, winter is a tough time for a lot of people, and I know the holidays were a tough time for a lot of people. Please, again, get help if you need it. If you find the dark, have darkness rolling in, please, there are many places that will be your Autobot. I know it sounds geeky and stupid. There are a lot of places that want to be your Autobot matrix of leadership and light your darkest hour. Whether it's a good friend, a loved one, a wife, a husband, a significant other, a pastor, a person of cloth, whomever it might be. Or a volunteer, please, again, I do recommend getting help. And again, that number, once again, is 1-800-273-8255. I can't say that number enough. I want to, again, end this show right now because it's going down and down and down. I'm starting to feel the darkness roll in. I don't want that. I'm going to probably be going on YouTube and seeing some fun videos. I know this past week, we were on the Midwest Bostonian. I want to thank them on air for allowing us to be on the show and talk about our show and podcast and the Mandela Effect, which was just fun to be on his show for about a half an hour. So, Midwestern Bostonian, thank you for having our show. Again, we're sorry that we didn't give you... For all you rest of you listeners that we didn't give the failed troll, trolling an IRS scammer this week, just that all this with Logan Paul and the videos and the reviews that we wanted to get out, we need to get out. Hopefully we'll get on to AwesomeCon as press if they decide to let us on as press. So, that's that, and let's get on out of here. I will see you next week in regards to everything. So, toodles for now. Bye. I will see you next week with that scam call fail. So, I'll see you guys a week after that with one way, shape, or another. Don't worry about me. If you are worried about me, you can message me on Facebook. Again, it's facebook.com/TheLongCoatMafiaPodcast, or you can use our email at longcoatmafia@gmail.com, or if you want, you can also tweet at us at Longcoat Mafia, or you can find us on Instagram at Longcoat Mafia. So there's that, and we will be on, hopefully, by the time this is dropped, at some time soon on Spotify. So again, thank you for listening. We will be back next week, and thank you for putting up with our random content over the past going on 10 months. So thank you so much. And I am out of here. Recording test 143 using USB mic, recording software, mono, yada, yada, yada. Let's see if we can separate into stereo. Recording test 143 using USB mic, recording software.